south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Okay, now just a little explanation about what's happening at the big flagship station, PRN. Since I got a lot of emails last week saying that the site was down or had been hacked or whatever. So, just a few words on that. Then, I'll have some words about my Expat Wisdom website, which posts all the shows also. I'm sure all you guys and gals who get it there have noticed that it requires a password now to get the shows. So, why is that? Well, here's the story. The two things are somewhat related. Like I said, you might have noticed that the flagship PRN station out of New York was hacked very hard and actually taken down for a few days in the fourth week of February. And as I record this show today, it's still not at 100%. Now, from what I've heard, this was a very organized hacker attack that came immediately after a groundbreaking five-hour broadcast, an expose about government and big pharmacy cover-ups in the medical and vaccine industries. Note, the PRN site is partially back up now, but if you go there at prn.fm or progressiveradionetwork.com, you'll see in bold letters just how they got hit. Now note that this kind of organized hacking crap is affecting all of us alternative radio guys and gals, and it's bound to get worse. I mean, come on. Why wouldn't Uncle Sam and Big Brother want to shut us all down, all us radio podcast guys who just refuse to put out that pre-digested media shite? And then there's Richard Martin and guys like me telling you twice a week to pack up soon and get the hell out of the first world or suffer the consequences. Dire consequences, to be sure. That said, let's talk some more about this show, The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. You know, they're all pre-recorded, right? Well, I usually record my shows a few days before they're broadcast on the big station, PRN, in New York. And by the way, the PRN station and network out of New York is the biggest, most listened to radio and podcast station in the world. For your information, they get this, over 20 million hits a week. And occasionally, they get up to 20 million hits in a single day. That means 20 million people going to the website and clicking on one show or another or downloading reports or whatever. Now, to those of you who get my show elsewhere and have never been to the PRN website, you'll see that there's some 50-plus shows there, covering all kinds of progressive and very cool topics. And believe me when I tell you, it really is edgy alternative radio. And honestly, if I was king of the world or head of an oppressive, jackbooted government, I'd probably want to shut it down too. And by the way, a lot of people ask me what shows I listen to, and there's really only three shows / podcasts that I listen to religiously. One, The Gary Null Show, which is by far the most popular show on PRN. And I think if you're not listening to his show, you're shortchanging yourself, really. And I listen religiously to Richard Martin's show, The Wake Up Call, also on PRN. And I know for some people he's an acquired taste because he's got that heavy British accent. Just like some Americans can't get used to watching British films, I guess, some people can't listen to a show whose host has a heavy British accent either. That never bothered me, but then again, I lived in the UK for 3 years, so I can understand those people who speak American with a funny accent. That said, do give Richard Martin and his Wake Up Call show a chance. After you've heard a few shows, you'll know what I mean. So, along with Gary Null and Richard Martin, I listened to a really amazing guy named John B. Wells, who's got a podcast called Caravan to Midnight that you have to subscribe to for, I think it's $60 a year. Now, you gotta love this guy. He was on the biggest AM radio station in the world, Coast to Coast AM, for 2 or 3 years, and they tried to censor him when he'd bring on anonymous guests and whistleblowers, etc. So he got in a fight with management and got fired and started his own podcast now. And believe me, now that he's got his own podcast show, it was like taking the leash off the Doberman. Not that he's crude or gross or insulting. Far from it. He's, in fact, what I'd call an intellectual in wolf's clothing. And he continues to have some of the greatest guests I've ever heard. many of them anonymous, and they have to remain so, or they'd surely be disappeared or end up as ground taco meat. But as for me and this show, anyway, like I said, I usually get my shows up on the Expat Wisdom website a few days before they're broadcast and archived at the big station, PRN. And as some of you might know, you can also get my program at podbean.com and Stitcher and iTunes, etc. And of course, a lot of people get my show from expatwisdom.com, my website, because they get it a couple of days earlier than everybody else. Plus, they get it at a much higher bit rate. That means high fidelity, which people say noticeably adds a kind of a rich, Barry White / James Earl Jones kind of timbre to my voice. Don't you think? Come on now, be nice. Anyway, that said, at expatwisdom.com, we recently noticed a very high level of downloads from IP addresses with dodgy aliases, even alphabet agencies, as well as the usual Chinese and Russian downloaders and spammers, go figure. And all this action is starting to overload our servers. Plus, we really only want to share this expat info with those of you guys and gals out there who are really serious about it. So, from now on, we'll just need to password protect the shows coming out of expatwisdom.com. Of course, they'll still be free. Just sign up on the homepage and we'll send you an email immediately with the passwords. And if you're having any problems at all with the password stuff, just address your email to info@expatwisdom.com in care of Sandra. She'll straighten it out for you. So, understand, with all those crazy-ass Russians and Chinese and alphabet agencies and hacksters out there, we just had to do it. At least for now, anyway. Again, for those passwords, just send an email to info@expatwisdom.com in care of Sandra. Now, I'm not lying when I say that some days I get more than 500 spam emails. And luckily, I know enough not to open the ones that have a subject line that starts out by saying something like, "Hello, my dearest Johnny," or "Dear heart," or "Dear good friend," or "My dearest friend," because I don't have any of those, and I know all those are coming from spammers in India or China. And as for that $11 billion of mine somehow hung up in a bank in Nigeria, well, I'd like to thank Mr. Kimby Kinterash, who so kindly alerts me about every other day that all he needs is my bank account numbers and my wire transfer information. That said, bear with us a little bit on this hacking, spamming, and new password thing. We'll get through it. We always do. Okay, here's some late-breaking news for you, especially all you guys and gals who are thinking about Nicaragua. Just this Friday, Nicaragua's illustrious perverted president, Daniel Ortega, announced, or I should say decreed, because it was a presidential decree, an immediate minimum wage increase to the tune of about 11%, hiking it from, get this, $159 a month to now $176 a month. Now, isn't it funny that these minimum wage hikes always seem to come around right before election time? Yeah, right. Now, that said, I'm not arguing that the minimum wage isn't pathetically low. Beyond a joke, really. Here's what you probably didn't know. More than half of the adult population of Nicaragua makes the minimum wage. So all it really is and ever was about the ruling party getting votes. And you see, if you force a minimum wage increase like that, the ruling party doesn't actually have to dig into the public coffers and buy Happy Meals and T-shirts and bus rides and baseball caps. Oh, and let's not forget those sacks of rice and flour with the party slogan on them that were previously warehoused donations from do-gooder first world idiots like, well, fill in the blank. So, by far the easiest way to buy votes in Latin America is to raise the minimum wage. But note, it's got to be right before an election because people's memories are short. And note, all those little freebies like T-shirts and Happy Meals, they cost a couple of bucks each. So when you're trying to buy off a couple of million people, it really can run into some big-time Cordobas. Yeah, that's the Nicaraguan currency, Cordoba. Anyway, this time Ortega's government is trying to buy votes with the money of those big agriculture empresarios and factory owners. The ones that'll be footing the bill for the minimum wage increase, of course. Now, there's no argument that the minimum wage in all Latin countries is a big joke. That's another discussion. Today, we're just talking about how corrupt politicians manipulate the minimum wage for votes. Now, independent economists and marketing analysts in and around Nicaragua are saying that there's been absolutely no relevant economic analysis to justify the increase in minimum wage, no matter how crappy it looks. And they said the government has asked for absolutely zero input from the private sector, who are on the hook for the tab, of course, before making that decision. So just note, again, in Nicaragua, it's government by presidential decree. Sound familiar? Oh, and by the way, looking at the same big Nicaraguan daily newspaper I got that article out of, there's another little bit of news I want to mention. Now, first off, let me say that people often ask me how the Latin newspaper and the media deal with news stories coming out of the first world. Do they have their own reporters up in New York, let's say, to get the Latin angle, or do they just copy and paste the usual suspects, the AP, Reuters, and BBC news sources, etc.? Well, I'll tell you one thing. When they credit international news stories in Latin newspapers, you never see articles coming from alternative news sources like Zero Hedge, Natural News, or Al Jazeera. It really is all the usual whitewashed news sources like the AP. For example, here's a first world bit of breaking news right out of the same paper I got the Noriega stuff from. What we've got here is a quarter page photo of a smiling Obama. And the headline says, in Spanish of course, President Obama is proud to have saved the U.S. economy. Then it goes on to say in the small print that the U.S. president has told CNN in an interview that his greatest achievement as president, number one on his list, is that he saved the U.S. economy. And his second greatest achievement and success was that he so dramatically brought down U.S. unemployment that by year-end 2014, it had stabilized at a low 5.6%. I guess that says it all, right? So just know that down here in Latin America, Latins get the same whitewashed media crap that you get. The difference is down here, it's just filler. And Latins rarely read any of that stuff. And when they do, they buy it lock, stock, and barrel. Just like Joe Sixpack and the Kardashian and Twitter and Facebook crowd do up in the first world. Now, on that subject, people have asked me if big Latin American media companies, TV stations, newspapers, and such, send roving reporters up to the first world to cover first world stories. The answer to that is yes, but you'll find that almost all these roving reporters are stationed in big cities in the U.S. where there are huge Latin populations like Miami, New York, Chicago, and L.A. But it's not what you think. They're not covering the hard news to get the Latin angle on it. Instead, 99.9% of the time, they're covering the local U.S. Latin scene, what's happening in the Latin hoods in the U.S. Like, for example, they'll be on the street in Atlanta, New York, Chicago, etc. on Nicaraguan Independence Day just to interview happy people of Nicaraguan descent, waving Nicaraguan flags, eating Nicaraguan food, and singing Nicaraguan songs. Down here, you'll see news stories and interviews like that all the time. People who on Independence Day are having block parties in their own U.S. Latin neighborhoods. And since there are 20 Latin American countries, there'll be 20 Independence Day celebrations in the U.S. just like that. All of them seemingly very newsworthy to people here in Latin America, who, by the way, are always looking to catch a glimpse of someone they might know, a relative, an old friend from the neighborhood from down here in Salvador or Nicaragua, who's long since escaped to some U.S. Latin community up in Chicago, Atlanta, or Milwaukee. So down here on local TV and in the papers, you see reports like that all the time. And of course, they're covering everything and anything about Latin entertainment and fluff. In fact, down here in Latin America, there are whole channels devoted to Latin singers and entertainers that happen to be passing through the States on tour. Because, you know, there are millions of Latin Americans in the States who are an instant audience for homegrown talent like that. And even though the average first world American would have no idea who these people are, to the average Latin American family up in the States, these touring entertainers are superstars. But let's not forget those all-important Latin American soap opera stars. Another group of people, the American, Caucasian, and black population, wouldn't know from Adam if they were standing face-to-face with him in an elevator. Now, isn't it funny that these soap opera stars, who seem to be, when they're not working, always in the United States hanging around at luxury hotels and resorts? In Miami. Naturally. In fact, I've never seen anything like it myself, but I'm used to it now. The fact is, down here in Latin America, you can't watch an hour of local or national TV and not see a little clip of one of these Latin superstar entertainers lounging by a pool somewhere. Not in Mexico, not in Rio, not in Costa Rica, but in Miami, of course. Turns out, Miami seems to be the epicenter, or even mecca, for Latin Americans who have made it or think they have made it. And by the way, I've crossed paths myself with a few of these Latin American so-called superstars who are really complete unknowns to the average American black and Caucasian population. And more than one of these people has told me that the definition of really making it as a Latin American star, musician, singer, soap opera star, or otherwise, is to finally immigrate to the United States, get their green card, and buy a house in Miami. In a wealthy area, of course. The fact is, you can't imagine how proud and happy the average Latin American person is when he sees one of his own entertainment personalities, musician or soap opera star, on TV being interviewed up in Miami sipping pina coladas by some pool. And you know, it's kind of like a brainwashing effect. If you're down here long enough and you watch Latin American TV for some time, you really get the feeling that there are very few blacks and Caucasians left up in the United States, and that it's loaded with happy, successful Latin Americans, and that Spanish is the home language. Now, I'm not saying that as a put-down at all. That's how Latin American roving reporters up in the States cover their beats. Enough said about that. Let's move on. Now, down here in Latin America, occasionally you'll be driving along and you'll see a big ribbon stuck on a car, or on the front door of a house, or on the garage door. Not that you see these things often, but they're out there, and people wonder, what meaning do they have? Well, it's not a happy meaning, I can tell you that. When you're driving around and you see a white ribbon, that means a child 12 or under in the family has died. And the family will usually keep that bow hanging outside for people to see for about 3 days. And note, if it's a black bow that you see hanging on someone's door, that means an adult has died. So note, as one fresh expat lady mistakenly said to me, Johnny, they having a wedding there or something? When she saw the white bow. I said, nope, but it's almost as sad. Just a little joke there. Oh, and by the way, these bows look just like a bow tie, only bigger. About the size of a shoebox. Okay, now, this'll make you laugh. You remember a couple of shows ago I mentioned two little Latin guys working a tienda that kept using the word Q, and what they really meant was cute. They just left the T off. Anyway, I got this following email after I told that story. It says, Dear Johnny, I hope you don't get any flack about that story you told, the one about those two Latin guys using the word Q, which you explain later as the word cute. Just to help you out in case you do get some flack, something similar happened to me about 8 months ago in Panama. I was in one of those little tiendas like a 7-Eleven and was getting my cheap cell phone recharged with some more time. I gave the guy behind the counter a $50 bill. And asked him to put $5 in the phone as a recharge. By the way, Panama's funny money is the U.S. dollar, you know. And the guy looked at me, smiled, shook his head, and said, 50? $50? Oh my God, no change. And just then, another guy walked in. He looked kind of like a gringo, but he wasn't. A very tall, older, fat guy, maybe 60 years old. And he did the very same thing. He handed the kid $50, and he said he'd like to have $5 worth of minutes recharged in the phone. Just to explain things a little more, the reason why we both wanted to get a $5 recharge on our phones is because that day they were offering a special. If you buy a $5 recharge, they'll give you 5 times as many bonus minutes free. So, naturally, you want the $5 recharge. So anyway, this big, tall guy gave this young kid a $50 bill, too. And then, from behind the counter, one of the other tellers looked at the little guy who was charging up my phone, and he said, Oh my God, otra 50, another 50. And the guy charging my phone said the same thing, Oh my God. Now, this is the part you're gonna like. Just then, that older guy who looked like a gringo, he looked at both those guys and said in Spanish, In the United States, only women and gays use the term, oh my God. Then he says, are you two guys huecos? Which is Latin slang for gay. And they both turned bright red and said, cállate, no way, which means shut up, no way. So anyway, I'm here to tell you, the same kind of thing that happened to you happened to me too. And he signs it, Herbert from Philadelphia by way of Panama. P.S. I'm coming to your next seminar for sure. But then again, I said that last time. All right then, thanks for that, Herbie. Anyway, I want to close out now by giving you a little news from Robert in Europe. Remember Robert? My friend and website partner who occasionally shoots off emails to you from Europe. Just to let you know, he and the Expat Wisdom team in Europe, yes, there's an Expat Wisdom team both here in Latin America, that's my thing, and the Expat Wisdom team in Europe, that's Robert's thing. Anyway, he and his Expat Wisdom team in Europe are meeting in Barcelona, Spain, early in May for a little fun to catch up, hang out, and generally enjoy all the coolness of Barcelona. Then he thought, why not invite some of the Expat File listeners too? Now, if you remember, quite a while ago I mentioned that if Robert does one of these Expat Wisdom tours in Europe, I'd tag along if I could. And this looks like it just might turn out to be the perfect window to do that. If there's any bad news, it's limited to only 7 people. There's a reason for it, but you'll have to hear it from Robert himself. So if you're interested, you'd better get an email off to those guys as soon as possible. Just send an email to info@expatwisdom.com and they'll get you all those details immediately. Now, Robert's been doing business in Spain for 10 years now, and he knows all the ins and outs, the good, the bad, the ugly, the great, and the best deals right now. And with economies and real estate crashing left and right over there, I understand from him there's some tremendous deals to be had. So, if you're thinking about Europe as a place to live, invest, retire, or work, you won't get any better information anywhere, and it'll be boots on the ground, too. So send an email, info@expatwisdom.com. And by the way, I promised him I'd show up there, too, and maybe I'll even bring expat Eddie along. Who knows? That said, here's another email you might find interesting. This one's from P.T. Marcos. That's Perpetual Tourist Marcos. Dear Johnny, you mentioned on your show recently that there's no alternative press in Latin America. That may be true off the tourist trail, but I thought you'd be pleased to know that here in Oaxaca, Mexico, I picked up a local paper to read at breakfast, and it turned out to be an excellent alternative publication called Real Politic. Now, the reason why I mention this is because I want you to check out what it says in one of these articles. Since in another recent show, you talked about going to the big central market and how it seems to be a completely tax-free and receipt-free zone. In other words, everybody there is off the books, and they love it that way. Cash only, no checks or credit cards, right? Anyway, directly related to that, here's what it says in one of those articles. You know, of course, those fruit vendors in the mercados and the guys and women with the carts who give you great deals on local vegetables, juices, snacks, and everything else under the sun. They transact everything in cash without anyone ever thinking of asking for a receipt. Well, now, the Mexican government, in its great wisdom, has decided it wants to tax the meager income of those local stalwarts and is demanding that all of them start to give electronic receipts and submit formal accounting reports. Then Marco says, good luck with that. So then, what's my take on it? Well, if you've ever seen the organized chaos in these fantastic markets, you'll see they'll never be able to control that. Believe me, if a tax man ever showed his face in one of those markets and he wasn't just buying, he was asking for receipts, etc., that guy would be ground taco meat within the hour, believe me. Now, they might be able to get away with it in some of the smaller, more organized markets where they've only got maybe 40 or 50 sellers. But in these big markets where they've got 500 or even 1,000 of these little stalls, all packed into a virtual maze that's almost impossible to find your way out of, I say forget about it. A tax man walks in there trying to put the law down. He's going to get his tires slashed or worse. Okay, then Marco's email says, Johnny, when I was reading that article in that magazine, there was an actual demonstration up the road against a number of local injustices. The demonstration was packed and lasted for hours, so it seems like free expression is alive and well here in Oaxaca. That's more than you can say for my home country of Canada, which recently enacted part 2 of its draconian anti-terror laws. The best part of the new law is this. If someone breaks the law while living outside of Canada and then returns to Canada, they can still be arrested for their actions outside the country, so I'd better be careful with the spin I put on this information. I don't want the Canadian government to regard this email as seditious for simply describing their own tactics. And then he gives a link to the newspaper called the Star Canada, and it's called The Terror Bill Dramatically Increases Police Power in Canada. Then he goes on to say, perhaps, Johnny, that's why I'm much more tolerant of Mexico. In comparison to Canada, it just seems a great place to be. The trick is to stay away from, like you said, places like Cancun, Puerto Vallarta, and other hotel destinations, and stick to the places where only the young international students and the aging boomer hippies might tend to hang out. And of course, where you don't hear much English. Also, I know you don't much recommend Mexico, but I think that some of the smaller coastal cities and also cities that are far away from the coast and far enough removed from the border troubles might still be good places to check out. Now, of course, I don't know how long that will last, but so far I'm enjoying my Mexican time while Mexico still remains Mexican. And as long as they've got high-speed internet, of course. Just one more thing. A few weeks ago, you mentioned the Union Pay credit card as a way of getting around some of the banking restrictions that we Canadians have. I'm still looking for a way to actually get a card, as it seems that you need to go to one of the Asian banks and open an account in order to get one. But then again, Asian banks are everywhere now. But in the meantime, there's another card that's a little easier for you to get. It's called the Cash Passport Card. And it's put out by a company called Travelex Worldwide Currency. It's www.travelex, that's TravelEx.com. And note, I found out that Americans down here have many more options than we Canadians do, so it might be of interest to your American listeners anyway. You can get that card in a number of different currencies and reload the card online. Unfortunately, we Canadians can only get Canadian or U.S. dollars, and we have to physically go to the place that we bought the card in Canada in order to reload it. Wow, that sure comes in handy when you're out of the country, doesn't it? Duh. But still, it's good as a backup. All the best. Keep up the good work. P.T. Marcos. Okay, P.T., one more thing before we go. If you're interested in coming to my next Expat Wisdom Seminar, which will be, I think, in the second week of July 2015. To get in on the early bird discount prices, send me an email to theexpatfiles@gmail.com or info@expatwisdom.com. It'll be a 6-day event with heavy boots on the ground in Central America. You won't want to miss it.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files. Living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture in old